Amen. Amen. Thank you so very much for sharing these wonderful memories. And mothers are wonderful. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 4, a mother's love, beginning with verse 8. One day, Elisha went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. She said to her husband, "I know that this man who comes our way is a holy man of God. Let's make a small room on the roof and put a bed and a table and a chair and a lamp for him. Then he can stay there whenever he comes to us." One day when Elisha came, he went up to his room and lay down there. He said to his servant Gehazi, "Call the Shunammite." So he called her, and she stood before him. Elisha said to him, "Tell her you've gone to all this trouble for us. Now what can be done for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army?" She replied, "I have a home among my own people." "What can be done for her?" Elisha asked. Gehazi said, "She has no son, and her husband is old." Then Elisha said, "Call her." So he called her, and she stood in the doorway. About this time next year, Elisha said, "You will hold a son in your arms." "No, my lord," she objected. "Please, man of God, don't mislead your servant." But the woman became pregnant, and the next year, about that same time, she gave birth to a son, just as Elisha had told her. Let's bow our hearts and let's ask God's blessing upon the sharing of the word this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the godly heritage that we have, Lord, through our mothers. Lord, they taught us so many things, Lord Jesus. Not only, Lord, to read and to walk, but also to love and to live. And in many instances, to know Jesus. God, as we take a look at a mother this morning from Holy Scripture, we pray in Jesus' name that through the wisdom of your word, you would speak to our hearts. The faith, Lord, that this woman demonstrated, God, make real to us that we too, in turn, can believe you for anything. And we ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. One of the greatest things about moms, the greatest thing you can have as a mother, in fact, all of us need as we serve and worship Jesus, is that of faith. Compassion is good and it's so necessary. I think we all learn compassion through the compassion that our moms have shared with us. And in most cases, I know not all, but in most cases, it's the mom who teaches us how to walk, how to tie our shoes, how to read, how to do all of these rudimentary things when we come into this world. But the greatest gift that we can have from our mothers and the greatest thing that we can give to another individual is that of faith. One of the things that I honor about my mom and my mother-in-law and the mother of my children is the faith that they have in God. I know in the challenges that I have had in my life, not only did I have the Lord to rest upon, but I had their faith also to rest upon, their encouragement to me through the word of God, their prayers on my behalf to the Heavenly Father for God to move in my life. It's a great value. And this story gives us an example of a faithful woman who's not here just as an example to all the mothers who are here, but to all of us. Because God just hasn't called mothers to be people of faith. He's called every one of us to be people of faith. She experienced great things because of her belief in God. And it's a faith that all of us can aspire to. And one of the things that we see in her life is that her heart of faith was one that came from a pure heart. The Bible tells us it's the pure in heart who see God. And we can't see God with our eyes, but if we're to be people who truly believe in God, we need to see God in a spiritual sense. And this was a woman who, more than in a little way, demonstrated a pure heart before God. We see this in the greatest or deepest expression of purity that there can be in an individual, that being her motive. Once again, reading verses 8 through 10 in our story, one day Elisha went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. She said to her husband, "I know this is a man who often comes our way, is a holy man of God. Let's make a small room on the roof and put a bed and a table and a chair and a lamp for him. Then he can stay there whenever he comes." Here she was. She recognized the man of God, Elisha, who's a mighty prophet of God, whenever he came through the area. And she wanted to bless him. And she had, as we read the story, no ulterior motive to bless this man. She recognized that he was of God. And because he was a godly man, he wanted to bless her. She wanted to bless him, excuse me. And so made a nice little room for him to stay and to lodge when he was ministering in the area. She didn't do it because she wanted something. She didn't do it because she wanted to look important and more spiritual than other people. She simply did it because this was God's representative and she wanted to bless the Lord. You might say, well, how do you know that? We know that because Elisha, one day he goes up, he lays down in the room and he thinks to himself, this woman has done me a great service. What can I do for her? He wanted to show her a heart of gratitude. Can you imagine? Now Elisha was no ordinary prophet. He wasn't just someone who spoke the word. The power of God was demonstrated in his life. In fact, as you read the account of Elisha, through him, God performed 14 miracles. In fact, the last miracle that was performed in his life happened after he died. Which, you know, that's a pretty powerful anointing, what had happened, not to digress too much. But Elijah was dead and buried, and one day people were carrying a body to be buried, and enemies showed up, and so they took the dead body and they threw it in Elijah's tomb. And when that dead body touched Elisha, it came to life again. So this was a mighty powerful man of God. 14 miracles. And now he comes to this woman and he asks her, "What can I do for you?" Whenever Elisha, and I hope I don't get them too confused this morning, but if I say Elijah, please excuse me, I mean Elisha. Whatever he prayed happened. And now he was coming to this woman. "What do you want? What can I do for you? What can I pray to God to happen in your life?" And her response was not "give me riches." Her response wasn't "don't give me fame." Her response was, "I don't need anything. I just simply want to bless you because you are God's servant. And in blessing you, I'm blessing God," showing us the purity of the motive that was in her heart. Do we want to see God move? And do we want God to honor our prayers? If we do so, the Bible tells us we need to be righteous people. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, "It's the prayers of the righteous that avail much." And do you know where the most important place righteousness needs to be in a person in order for their prayers to be heard? Most important place is not so much in what we say, although that is important, or what we do, but what we think. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. And you can say all the right things, and you can do all the right things, but if in your heart and mind are evil imaginations, it's not worth a hill of beans to the Lord. But this woman had a pure motive. It was a motive of love, and it was a motive that honored God. And if we want to be people whose prayers are answered, our hearts and our motives need to be pure before the Lord Jesus Christ as well. But that didn't stop Elisha from wanting to bless this woman. In verses 14 through 17, we read about how God blessed this woman in a mighty way. After she said, I'm fine, I don't need anything. Verse 14, Elisha says, what can be done for her? Gehazi, who is Elisha's servant, said, she has no son, and her husband is old. Then Elisha called her. Elisha said, call her. So he called her, and she stood in the doorway. About this time next year, Elisha said, you will hold a son in your arms. No, my lord, she objected. Please, man of God, don't mislead your servant. But the woman became pregnant, and the next year, about the same time, she gave birth to a son, just as Elisha had told her. What happened in her life? God didn't give her what she asked for, but God gave her something she deeply wanted in her heart. And you might say, well, how do we know a child is something that she wanted? Well, for most mothers or most wives, there is that natural desire for a child. And we can't say that for sure in this woman's life just because she was married. But we can gauge her desire for a child in her reaction to Elisha. Because when he said, you'll have a child a year from now, she didn't want to receive it. Not because she didn't want it, but she didn't want to get her hopes up over something so wonderful that could possibly happen, and that thing not happen at all in her life. God, and this wasn't Elisha wanting to do this. It wasn't a matter of Elisha said, she's done something good for me, so I'm going to say the right words for God, to God, and God will give her a child. That's not the case at all. In fact, that's not the way Elisha moved. Because no one can conjure up any type of miracle. It's only God who does supernatural things through the hands of his servants. And the reason why Elisha was moved to pray to God and to seek God to bless this woman was because God laid this woman's need upon her heart. And so he blessed her with a child. And the way God moved in her life and the way God wanted to bless her is the way that God wants to move in our lives as well. The Bible tells us that God is no respecter of persons. In fact, one verse that speaks to this can be found in the book of Psalms, chapter 37. Verse 4 says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 84, verse 11 says, the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. You see, one thing sometimes we forget is that God loves us. And because he loves us and he is our heavenly Father, he desires to bless us, especially when we honor him. And when we delight ourselves, or when we, as far as our lives, have our good pleasure to bless God in what we say, what we do, how we act towards God and also towards others. The response of God is not only to meet our need, but also to bless us in our wants. Now, I'm not saying, okay, if you make a little room for me, God's going to give you a brand new Cadillac and so on and so forth, that type of thing. Nothing wrong with a new Cadillac, but he'll give you godly things, good things that you desire deep in your heart and in your life. And her faith was demonstrated when this blessing that she received from God was challenged. Reading 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 18 through 21. The child grew, not sure how old he was, but old enough where he could speak and speak rather well. The child grew, and one day he went out to his father, who was with the reapers. He said to his father, "My head, my head." His father told the servant, "Carry him to his mother." After the servant had lifted him up and carried him to his mother, the boy sat on her lap until noon, and then he died. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, then shut the door and went out. This godly woman who received this wonderful blessing of God had this blessing put to the test. We don't know how old this child was. He was probably still young, but he at least had him for a few years. And after these few years, all of a sudden, unexpectedly, he passed. And she missed and was losing this blessing. Now, there are two ways which she could have responded. Number one, she could have said, "Well, that's life, and that's too bad. I guess it'll be just like before," and just move on with her life. Or she could contend with God and believe God for God to bring her son or give her son back to him. And she chose to do the latter. The first thing that she did when her child died was to seek out Elisha, the man of God who spoke to her and told her what God's promise was for a life, for her life. Verses 22 through 27 shows us that she was willing to contend for her blessing. She called her husband and said, "Please send me one of the servants and a donkey so I can go to the man of God quickly and return. Why go to him today?" he, being the husband, asked. "It is not the new moon or the Sabbath." "That's all right," she said. She saddled the donkey and said to her servant, "Lead on. Don't slow down for me unless I tell you." So she set out and came to the man of God on Mount Carmel. When he saw her in the distance, the man of God said to his servant Gehazi, "Look, there's the Shunammite. Run to meet her and ask her, 'Are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right?'" "Everything is all right," she said. When she reached the man of God at the mountain, she took hold of his feet. Gehazi came over to push her away, but the man of God said, "Leave her alone. She is in bitter distress, but the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me why." Here is a woman who didn't, as impossible as this circumstance was, did not allow this circumstance to keep her from seeking God, for God to do a miracle and give her that child back. And she didn't do this just to be blessed. She did this because she was a mom. She wanted this precious boy not to die at this young age, but to live and be everything that God called him to be. This was a living soul, and she refused to give up on him. And is not that the faith of a mother? A faith that doesn't give up on people, nor does it give up on the promises of God. But as a woman of faith, she was also honest before not only Elisha, but the Lord God himself. Excuse me. Verse 28. She says to Elisha when she finds him, did I ask you for a son, my Lord? She said, didn't I tell you don't raise my hopes? Elisha said to Gehazi, tuck your cloak into your bed, into your belt, and take my staff in your hand and run. Don't greet anyone you meet. And if anyone greets you, do not answer. Lay my staff on the boy's face. But the child's mother said, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So he got up and he followed her. She was open and honest before the man of God. She shared her anger, her frustration, her confusion, and her distress. And the interesting thing is that when she was honest before God and honest with Elisha, Elisha said, well, get away from me, you woman of little faith. He responded to her. He tucked his cloak up in his belt. He sent his servant to run ahead to put his staff on the child. And then he left whatever he was doing to go and to minister to this need. And she was unwilling to go without him. She waited to make sure that Elisha actually made it to her son. And the man of God responded with compassion. And again, Elisha, when he ministered, didn't minister just with his own human heart and compassion. He moved under the direction of God himself, as demonstrated by what happened at the end of the story, the son being raised from the dead. Verse 32, when Elisha reached the house, there was the boy lying dead on his couch. He went in, shut the door on the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. Then he got on the bed and lay on the boy, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands. As he stretched himself out on him, the boy's body grew warm. Elisha turned away and walked back and forth in the room, and then got on the bed and stretched out on him once more. The boy sneezed seven times and opened his eyes. Elisha summoned Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. And he did. When she came, he said, take your son. She came in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. Then she took her son and went out. In her life, we see three necessary things that are demonstrated in not just a mother of faith, a person of faith. There are three things that we need to understand. Number one, God honors the brokenhearted. Obviously, because she had lost her son. And again, think of how precious this young boy was to this woman. I'm not sure how old she was, but her husband was older. Not that he was the one bearing the child, but usually people his age did not bear children, although thank God what's impossible with man is possible with God. She had probably given up all hope that she would conceive. And finally, a child is given which surpassed her wildest hopes and her dreams that she would ever become a mother. In fact, it wasn't even on her radar as far as when Elisha asked her, what can I do for you? Give me a son. It was an impossibility. Yet God gave her that child. And then all of a sudden, in one moment, it wasn't something that was expected. It happened suddenly. In just a few hours, she lost that precious boy. And she approached the man of God. Why did you do this? I told you don't do this. Don't play with me. What she was expressing was the brokenness in her heart. I can't take it. This is too much for me to bear. And Elisha, who was filled with the Spirit of God, had compassion on her. Let me tell you, as you live your life, you will suffer disappointment. And sometimes, not because you've been bad, not because that you don't have enough faith. In fact, this woman's faith in some ways seems very small, as we'll see in just a moment. Not for any other reason, just because it's life and we live in an imperfect world. Something good that God has given you may be taken away. I think today, in today's society, in what we're dealing with, especially economically now, some people, 2, maybe even a year, maybe only 6 months ago, might have had good jobs with good incomes. And then all of a sudden, those good jobs taken away. It's not something that makes you happy. It's something, if you're normal, that makes you distressed. And she was distressed, and she was open and unabashed about it. But when she came to God, God moved upon her with compassion. That was Gehazi. What was wrong with him? Get away, woman. He tried to push her away. And Elisha said no. Listen, when you are broken of heart, the Bible says you are a prime candidate for the move of God and the compassion of God, which is not only His love, but His hand moving and working in your life. You are in prime place to receive God's moving. Psalm chapter 51, verse 7, the Bible says, "My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise." You want to hear your prayers answered. Don't be afraid to pour out your sorrow before the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, a scripture we're going to look at in just a moment, says, "Cast all your care on Him because He cares for you." Don't think that your pain is a lack of faith. It isn't. It's something God died for and something God honors when we come before Him in our time of need. There's nothing shameful with a broken heart. Secondly, not only does God honor a broken heart, God also honors a sincere heart. She didn't come with some kind of pretense to Elisha and say, "Oh, man of God, my son has died, but I know God is able to do all things. And I know God will hear your prayer. And I know even now God is going to raise him from the dead." Yes, there was a modicum of hope there, a modicum of faith. But the words this woman uttered before Elisha were words of distress. Did I ask you for a son, my Lord?" she said. "Didn't I tell you don't raise my hopes?" She was upset, but she was honest before God. Let me tell you, you don't have to put up any pretense before God when you are in distress. If you're angry, share your anger. If you're frustrated, share your frustration. If you're fearful, share your fears. Bring your fears to God. Don't deny them. That's not being honest. God would rather have you honest than faithful. 1 Peter 5 says, "Cast all your anxiety," verse 5, verse 7, "cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you." God wants you to bring your fear, your doubt, your frustration to Him. And when we're honest before God, God will honor you and your requests before the Lord Jesus Christ. And despite the fact that her words were words of frustration. And she was definitely someone who feared. She was still someone who had belief. You might be saying, belief? I don't see any belief in her words. Not so much in her words, but her actions. If she did not believe there was hope for her son, she would have stayed at home and just waited till the next time Elisha came around after her son was already dead and buried. But the first thing she did, because she knew if anyone could do anything regarding this situation, it was God. She got up. Her husband, it's not the new moon. It's not the Sabbath. There's no celebrations now. He didn't get it. But she got it. And she went out and sought the man of God. God wants us to know also that God honors those who believe. Jesus said in Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 23, everything is possible for one who believes. How much faith did she have? Maybe it was just a little bit of faith. Obviously, her words were conflicted. But she had just that little glimmer of hope that, God, you can do something. And what happened? God did. What did Jesus say as far as the amount of faith that we need in order to see mountains move? If your faith be that as a grain of a mustard seed, how big is it? If I told you I was holding a mustard seed in my finger and thumb of my left hand, I'm not. But you wouldn't be able to tell because that's how small it is. It is small and it's tiny. You probably have some in your spice cabinet. Not big at all. Even though, because your situation is so overwhelming and the circumstances are so impossible. I mean, what's less than possible than death itself? With a little bit of faith, God still answers in the name of Jesus. And her reward, the Lord granted her petition. The impossible was achieved. God ministered to her heart. Imagine, and he not only gave her back her son, but imagine how her faith grew after that baby or that little boy was restored to him, where she could now believe God for anything. And who do you think ultimately received the glory for it? Don't say Elisha, although some people might have looked at him. God. Because only God has the power over life and death. Musicians, if you would come this morning.